Well, it is so good to see all of you this morning. It is just an honor and a privilege to be a mom. And so this morning, I just wanted to share, and if you're not a mom, you can still get something out of this message. So you don't have to be a mom. But I do want to share just about just encouraging our mothers. You know, it is such a blessing. It takes a lot of strength to be a mother. All of those that are moms understand what I'm saying. You know, it takes a lot to be a mom. And so we just want to give a shout out to all of you guys and say thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices that you've made over the years. And so we are excited to be able to celebrate with you right now. I can remember one day one of my daughters coming home from school, and she was telling me how that the other girls in her class were giving her a hard time because she had this desire to be a stay-at-home mother. And they were telling her, you know, their other hopes and dreams and all that, and, you know, just kind of almost making light of the fact that she wanted to be a mom and, in fact, to stay at home. And you're not going to do something else with your life. You're not going to do something great and, you know, full of grand, you know, possibilities out there, you know. And I just remember thinking to myself, I understand what those ladies, those young ladies were telling my daughter, because at one point I was like that. You know, before I met Jim, I had a similar view to that. I had spent a lot of time studying in school. I did well in school. I went off to college, did well in college. And so when you're in that type of an environment, they're doing their job to give you all the possibilities of what's out there for you to do. And that's what school is set up to do, is to say, hey, you know, you could do this, you can do that, you can do the other. And they put these things in front of you as possibilities. And so that's what their role is. But their role does not necessarily tell you, oh man, to be a parent, it is awesome. You really want to go out there and be a parent. In fact, sometimes it can be almost like being a parent is going to hold you back from doing great things. Like, the more kids you have, the harder it is to go and do anything with your life. And so I'm just here to kind of push back against that type of thinking. I'm here to just say it is an honor and a privilege to be a mother. It is a blessing to be able to have people that God has given to you and in your care to be able to raise up and to be able to love on them. And those children are a gift to the next generation. You know, we're all going to get older and more mature, which, you know, that just is part of life. And one of these days we will, you know, see Jesus in heaven. Praise the Lord. That's going to be so great. But the gift that we are giving to the future generations is the ability to have other godly people to be able to share what Jesus has done, to be able to have families that love the Lord, that love one another, that desire to, you know, tell people the hope that they have of what God has done for them and how he has helped them. And so it is a privilege. It is an honor to get to be a parent. It's a joy. It is a gift from God. And yes. So I just want to celebrate that. And I want to say it doesn't take, it is not a weak thing to be a mom. In fact, it takes a very strong person to be able to be a mom, because there's so many things, and we're going to go into that today, that a mom represents, that a mom gives to her children. And so if I can just share with that and encourage, you know, even if you are a man, you're esteeming and valuing what women bring, what they offer. And so you're esteeming that gift. So the first place that I want to start, though, is how God created a woman. You know, and to value what God did when he created a woman. And so we're going to start looking at Genesis 2, verses 18 through 24. And so we'll just read through this. It says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." I just want to note that. There was not found a helper comparable to him. "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'Now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" And so we see in Genesis that man was not sufficient by himself. If he was, God wouldn't have had to have made a woman. If he were completely self-sufficient and didn't need help, God could have just said, "Hey, look at all these animals. These are your friends. These are the people you get to run with. These are the people that you get to live life with." But he brought everything in front of Adam, and Adam realized, there is nothing here that will satisfy me. And so God created woman. Not to be beneath a man, but to help fulfill. They become one flesh. So a man by himself is not as complete. Now, there are certain men that are meant to be by themselves, and there is that. But you'll have that desire. But most people, men and women, will have a desire to be married, and that is God-given. He wants you to have that because he understands that the person that you are joined with is going to complete you, is going to have strengths where your weaknesses are, is going to be able to strengthen and encourage you in times where, you know, it's not always easy. Sometimes there are just days that you go through and it's not easy. And it's nice to have somebody to talk you through things. I like to say it sometimes, there's times that it's nice to have somebody that walks you off the ledge. You know, you're about to do something really, really stupid, and you need somebody to say, "Hey, you might not want to do that today." And so they bring a balance to you. They help you. They help you to see things from a different perspective. Sometimes when we go through tough challenges, all you can see is the challenge. And so it's nice to have somebody that comes, that is in your life, that will give you a different perspective, that will help you to see things differently than the way that you're seeing it through the emotions that you are seeing it. And so God created woman to be a helper to man. And it is valuable. It is extremely valuable. She's not less capable. Doesn't mean she's not as smart. In fact, she's very, very smart. And so she's brought along to come alongside. And it is wise of men to listen, to take counsel. And it is wise of women to listen and to take counsel because you're balancing one another. It's such a wonderful thing, the way that God created humanity, how he created. We are meant to be a part of something, to be a part of a team. We are meant to run together with others. We are not meant to be isolated. We are not meant to run through life by ourselves. And, you know, sometimes you can think that it would be a lot easier. There are days where it'd be like, it'd be a lot easier just to do it myself. But it may be for that moment, but there's all of life that it is so much better when you are running with people in your life. Whether you're single, whether you're married, it doesn't matter. You need people in your life. You need people that come alongside and help to balance you, and you bring that balance to them as well. And so so I'm going to talk about now that helper aspect when it comes to our children, because we were created to be a helper, but one of the a main thing that we do is we help our children. We help them go through life. We are putting into them things. We're esteeming the gifts that are in our children and helping them to develop those gifts. We're esteeming what God is doing in and through them, and we take just pleasure of being a part of that, of helping them to grow. And so, yes, they grow in our homes, but also once they are young adults, they still, I can remember times that, you know, you want to go and have somebody to ask questions. And you value that. You esteem that. And so even when your children are grown, there are times that they come and they're looking for counsel. And so strong, godly parents are so important. Strong, godly mothers are so important. And so we just want to look at Genesis again. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 27. And we're going to see that it was God's will for us to have families. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so here we can see that men and women were intended to have children. That was God's plan from the beginning. He wasn't just saying, okay, I created you and now we're done. We don't need another person. We don't need more people. We have enough right here. He wanted and valued and esteemed the family unit. He is the one that created family. And so he's the one that is telling us that it is good for us. And so some of the different ways that women in their strength affect their families and help their families, help their children, is that they bring compassion and comfort. Have you ever just seen the way that a mom with a newborn baby, just the way that she holds that baby, and just the way that she adores that baby and rocks that baby and helps that baby cannot do anything by the baby's self. That mom and dads too, but a lot of times moms are there continually just nurturing, helping that baby, loving on that baby. That baby is finding out how much they are loved by the way that that mom cradles that child and takes care of it. And so let's look at Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. This is God speaking. He is showing that he is a comforter, but what part of him is he using that as an example? Who is he using as an example to show the comfort that he gives? It's a mom. Moms are so valuable. They comfort their children. And so if we look at 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. We keep seeing this example being given of women, of mothers. They are the ones that are comforting. They're the ones nurturing. This is a gift to a family is to have a strong mother that loves her children, that cares for them. And so when a child isn't feeling well, it's the mother a lot of times that will care for him or her and nurse them back to health. And so when a child has a bad day at school, a mom will many times console that child. You know, a mom will a lot of times stand up when her child is, somebody's doing something to their kid that they don't agree. You know, you've heard that idea of a mama bear. Don't mess with a mama bear. There are times when moms, you know, they're not weak about these types of things. They're going to come to the defense of their child. Something's going to happen to your child. You stand up for them. And you're coming against whatever it is that is trying to hurt their kid. They're protective. They're protective. And so, you don't get that idea of a mama bear as being some weak, insignificant person. A mother is not weak and insignificant. They are so valuable, valuable to the family. And so a woman, a mother, will also bring teaching and guidance. And so we see this in Proverbs 1:8-9. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck." You know, a mom teaches. They're so good at teaching. You know, you've got this baby. This baby doesn't even know how to feed itself, doesn't know how to walk, can't change its diaper. And so a mother comes along and begins to show, this is how you do this, this is how you do this. And you know, and they begin to, I loved this, on Wednesday we got to see Ava and I got to hold her. And Ava was trying to sit up. She's like trying to lift her head up already. She's only 2 months. She's so little, and yet you can see already she's working at this. She's being developed. She's becoming an older child that can be capable of lifting their heads. Because when she was born, you know, if you see a newborn baby, I mean, you have to be so careful with their heads because they're just floppy. They just go anywhere, you know, and you're like, you have to be so careful with them. And yet you see this mother that is so just gentle and patient and saying, okay, you got this, and you're celebrating when they take the first step. You're like the ones that's cheering them on. Mothers are such good cheerleaders. They go in and they say, hey, you've got this, you can do it, you can do it, you've got it. And so it's such a gift to the family, mothers are. They also correct. Have you ever had your mother say, no, no? Those aren't always as fun of things to do as a mom. There are just times that we would much rather just go, yay, you're so awesome, you're amazing. But that's not all that a mom does. There are times where they have to correct and say, you know what, that's not good for you. I can't allow you to do that. If I allow you to do that, you're going to be a menace to society. I'm going to have to tell you no because I want people to like you. If I don't tell you no, you're going to be one of those things that people are going to stay away. And so out of our love and our concern for our children and out of our desire to protect them, we also have to correct them. And I, like I said, that's not as fun. It takes a strong mother to stand up to a kid throwing a tantrum in the store. Have you ever seen that happen? It is so much easier to just give the kid what they want. It's so like everybody's staring at you and you're just like, shh, be quiet. And they don't, they just get louder sometimes. And you're like, all right, you can have it. It takes so much strength for a mom to say, you're making a choice. We'll talk about this in the car. There were just times that we were like, we're having a discussion when we get home and the kid knows what you're talking about. There are just times that you have to correct, because if you give into that tantrum every time, that child is unbearable. they're just not fun to be around, and that's not good for them. And so you don't want your child to be like that. So you love on them, and you say, not today. You cannot do that today. I want you to, but you can't do it because it's not good for you. You know, you're discipling your children. You're teaching them. You know, the Bible talks about discipling. Well, as a mother, we get the opportunity to disciple our children. How else are they going to find out certain truths if it's the mom? And the dad does this as well, but we're talking about mothers because it's Mother's Day. You're discipling them. You're helping them to know good from bad. What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? And so it takes a very strong woman to be able to do that. It takes strength. And when you feel like when a mother is tired and she just doesn't feel like pushing through herself and then she has to take care of kids, you know, kids, unlike jobs, they don't go away. When you're on vacation, they're on vacation with you. And there are times that those children are not allowing you to vacate. You're like, hey, you know, Christmas has a different thing, connotation to it once you become a parent. You know, it was one of those times where you just enjoyed when you were a child. Somebody worked very, very hard for you to enjoy it. They put a lot of effort into that. And Christmas was no longer the same type of Christmas for them because it was work. But that's okay because as moms, we find our pleasure now instead of receiving the gifts. We find our pleasure in giving the gifts, in creating an environment, in creating something that our children just smile and giggle and enjoy, and they feel so blessed. We are creating an atmosphere for them to experience the love of God through a person. That is so important. It is so important that we share God's love through us to our children because that helps them want to go to God. When they understand how much you love them, it helps them to understand how much God loves them. And this is so important. And so a mother is very, very strong to be able to do all of these things. And so let's look at Proverbs 31, 26 through 27. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Moms are so full of wisdom to help their children. And on her tongue is the law of kindness, unless she has to discipline, and that's not fun. But she's doing it out of kindness. And she watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. And that's what this is something that just represents moms so well. I'm reminded we have this picture in our upstairs hallway, and the wording on it says, prepare the child for the path, not the path for the child. There are just so many things that sometimes as moms, you don't want your child to experience hurt. You don't want your child to go through things. And so sometimes it's really easy to want to smooth out the road in front of them and make everything all right. Make sure that they have the best teacher. Make sure that the kid that's picking on your kid's kicked out of the class. You know, there's just so many things that we want to do to protect our kids. You know, but most of those types of things we cannot control. We cannot control what is going on with our children all the time. And as very much we want to control it, but we can't. And so what we can do is instill things into our children that will help them to face whatever circumstances that they're going through. Instill into them That's what we're doing when we're training. That's what we're doing when we're correcting. Allowing them to see, this is why I believe what I believe. So that when you're not there, they will continue to do it in spite of the fact that you're not there. That they're going to know on the inside because it's been put into them. And so this is one of those things that we're doing. We are preparing our child for life. And it's so great a responsibility. It is not something that we want to go. I mean, honestly, it's a lot more fun when you go to a job and people tell you you're amazing than when you go home. And, you know, sometimes you don't get those kind of accolades. You don't get the pay increase because you're the mom. You don't get a certificate. Hello. And so sometimes it is easier to esteem and value things that are outside of the home and not understand that what you are giving in the home is so important. But there are days where, and you have to cherish these times, where your kid just tells you they love you, tells you what's going on in school, and you're like, you did that right. Way to go. I'm so proud of you. You know, you have to celebrate everything because there's so many other day-to-day norms that aren't quite as good job. You don't hear that all the time. And so when those type of activities do happen or those types of things happen, you want to celebrate that. Enjoy it. That's why we celebrate moms on Mother's Day, because we're telling you, you are amazing. You are needed. You are necessary. You are so important. And so we are taking this time to celebrate you. Mothers also, they instill a reverence for the things of God. You know, there are so many things that pull our children away from God. It's tough sometimes. You're like, don't listen to that person. Don't look at that on Instagram. Don't look at that on Snapchat. Oh, unfollow that person. They're not good for you. That content is not good for you to see. You know, as moms, we're trying to help our children. We're trying to help them to see that a love for God and a respect for His ways is going to help them more than keeping up with what the societal norms are. You know, it doesn't matter your car. It doesn't matter your house. It doesn't matter any of those types of things. When you are older, what you are going to cherish is the fact that your family is following after God. That's the thing. You know, when you retire, your job is not going to be important to you anymore. You may have all sorts of awards on your wall, which are great. And we value and esteem those things, but they're not as important as your children serving God. That is what's going to be important to you. And so if we value and esteem that now, then we keep going towards that. We keep that as our focus. And so as we're putting things into our children, we are helping them to value and esteem the things of God. Because we realize for them, these are the things that are going to help them to get married to the right person, to stay married, to raise their children correctly, to know what to do. You get this baby and you're like, I don't know what to do with it. Well, you're putting those things into your children so that they know what to do with it. So they know what to do. And then reliance on God is so important. There is no greater gift you can give to the world than solid, godly children who will carry out the hope of Jesus to the next generation. There's nothing better you can do with your life than to create a generation that loves God. That is so important. And so that's what we are doing. So let's look at Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. All right. So when your mom keeps telling you about God and keeps telling you how important the things of God are, kids, that's her job. She's supposed to be doing this. She's supposed to be telling you that this is so important because it's the foundation. Anything else is a rocky foundation. And you'll find out that as you go further and further in life, that if there's certain things that you thought were important and that falls out from underneath you, you don't have a stable place to stand. But when you take the things of God and you put that, and your mom is telling you, stand on this, then it doesn't matter what comes at you. You're able to withstand the pressures of life. You're able to withstand the disappointments, the successes, and have the mentality that God created for you to have. He wants you to enjoy life. He didn't tell you not to do certain things so that you don't fit in with everyone else. He says to be careful on certain things because he knows that this is better for you. It's so much better not to even touch things that are going to harm you. But if you do touch them, then you go to God and say, God, help this not to become a stronghold in my life. We don't want to touch certain things. We don't want to give place for things to become strongholds in our life that make it hard for us, make it harder for us to face things. You know, even our thoughts. A lot of times moms will be the ones that will be telling you, this is what God says about you. This is how God sees you. You can have all sorts of other thoughts that tell you differently. They begin at such a young age. Our kids get bombarded. Some dumb other kid tells them something that they're not good at, and you're just like, shut up, kid. You don't know who you're talking about. That child has so much potential. Don't you dare come against him or her, you know. But you're instilling into your children to see and to value themselves the way God sees and values them. They are so important. Every person is important to God. And so a mother does that, begins to help their children to be able to see, begins to speak the word over them, telling them, this is what God says about you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what those stupid people say. It matters that you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with you. And he says you can do it. And he causes you to triumph. And these are the types of things that we are putting into our children so that they are strong and steady and stable and able to stand in the face of anything that comes at them. And then when they are standing, you are coming alongside and saying, you got this. I'm standing with you. I'm with you. You know, there are times, I remember times being on the playground and hearing moms joke about how dumb their kid was. I'm like, how can you say that? Well, they weren't living for God, so that's how come they could do it. But I'm like, wait a minute. You are allowing this thought to become a reality in your child. This is how they're gonna see themselves. And so as mothers, we are the ones that are we are defending them, but we are putting into them what God says about them and saying it doesn't matter. The Bible is truth. The Bible is real. And so we are standing on that and putting that into them and saying, you know what? If you will serve God, it will go well with you the rest of your days. If you serve money, that is not a strong foundation. If you serve popularity, you will do a lot of stupid stuff just to fit in, and it will not help you. And so it doesn't mean that you can't have nice things, you can't dress nice, you can't drive a nice car. I'm not saying any of those things, but I'm saying that is not your foundation. That is not your stability. That is not your rock. Because that, you know, you got a new car and you get in an accident. What are you going to do if that was your foundation? Oh, I really wanted to get this cool car. And then you get in an accident, you rear end someone, or you know, that's not gonna keep you solid. But what will keep you solid is what God says about you. And so that's what we're putting into our children. You know, we can look at an example of Moses' mother. Let's look at Exodus. This is just a little bit of a lengthy thing, but it's a great story, so we're gonna go through it. So Exodus 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, moms always think their kid is beautiful. There is nobody greater than their child. Sorry. I mean, you can have a cute kid, but they're not as cute as my kid. That's how we're meant to think. I mean, that's just the way it is. Your kid is so super cute. I love your kid, but they're not like mine. Anyways, we're meant to be like that. That's just the way it is. So she hid him for 3 months. And so what was happening is they were killing any boy that was two and under. They were killing him. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. A mother protects. She's like, okay, nothing's going to come. I want to see what's going to happen with this baby. I'm protecting this baby. And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse this child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." She got paid to raise her kid. That is so amazing. And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." But here we see an opportunity for a mother to be able to raise her child, who ended up becoming the leader of Israel and took them out of captivity. And so this mother had the opportunity to be able to instill values and truths that he, at a young age, did not forget when he was older. And so we see the importance of what we're doing. We're not just babysitting kids for a period of 18 years. It's not just babysitting. We are instilling into them truths that they are going to need for the rest of their lives. So she didn't even have those 18 years, but the things that she was putting into that young man ended up staying with him and causing him to be a great leader and causing him to have the ability to lead his people out of Egypt. And so we're going to look also at another example in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5. "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers." This is Paul speaking. And he's speaking to Timothy. I remember you in my prayers day or night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. We can see in this verse, this last verse, that a good, godly mother can affect future generations too. They affect their children, but they can also, what they have instilled into their children are going to instill that into the next generation. And that's why what we do is so important. We don't take this for granted. We don't take this lightly. We don't think that other things like accolades at work is more important than taking care of our children. It is so important. It is a God divine ministry that he has put on us to be able to help our children. And so I'm just going to conclude on this. You know, the people that you help in life at your job, they may be in your life for a very short period of time, but your children will always, always be with you. And so what you're doing, what you're investing into them is so important. You know, the calling of a mother is not weak and it is not insignificant in the eyes of God. He doesn't look at it the way that maybe other people do. He sees and he values that very, very much. You know, instead of becoming maybe a great lawyer or a great doctor and those types of things, I'm not putting any occupation down at all, but to be able to have your children one day come and be able to say to you what is said in Proverbs 31:28, this is one of the greatest compliments that you can ever receive as a mom. And it says, her children rise up, this is Psalm or Proverbs 31:28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. This is important. It is so important. It takes a strong woman to do this and to do it well and to impart things into the generations that are coming up. And so I just want to applaud all of our mothers here today. Thank you. Thank you for loving your children. Thank you for esteeming and valuing the things of God in a way to where that your children are being affected for him and doing things. I love just seeing we have some great teenagers that are helping out in the different areas in the church. And I look at that and I'm like, wow, this is just training. Their parents have set aside and have made this a priority so that their children are becoming strong and capable workers for churches that are going to be around in the future. And so I just want to say I commend you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you are doing. You are a gift to the body of Christ. You are a gift to your family. You're a gift to our church. Thank you so much. But you are more importantly a gift to your children. You are a gift.